I'd like to dedicate our learning tonight to the memory of Herman Finkelstein, Mindy Weinstock's beloved father, Olav Shalom, Chaim Meir, Ben Zevdov, Mindy Shem Avaliyah, Bimelitz Yosher, always for Mindy and Tuvan and Mifishbacha. And during the Shloshim for Mona Goldman, Aleah Shalom, Leilu Nishmasa, Maras Minalea Bas Moshe Hirsch, Shama should have an Aliyah always. She should be Melitz Yosher for Alan and children always. So we are going to study the Maral Chedushi Agadus Meseches Seita Lamed Hey Amid Beis. In these editions of the Maral, it's on page Ayin Beis. And the Maral talks about this very interesting Gemara relating to the construction of stone tablets upon which the Torah was written as we entered Eretz Yisrael. Moshe wrote the Torah in its entirety as we were about to enter in Arvos Moav, the plains of Moav. It was then again written on stones as we crossed the Yarden, and then those stones were moved up to Har Eval, where we marched to Har Eval on the very day we arrived, and the pronouncements of blessings and curses are pronounced, and then they were moved to Gilgal, which is just on the border within Eretz Yisrael proper, and there these tablets of stone with the inscription of Torah in 70 languages was erected for all the world to see. For all of the Ummos HaOlam to see the Torah and to learn the Torah, to digest the Torah, and to, quite frankly, follow much of the Torah, which, what the Gemara says, is what they should have done. But they didn't. Now, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon as to how this writing of the Torah proceeded. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah was written in their respective languages, and then that stone tablet, large stone tablet, was completely covered in plaster. It was plastered over. So in order to access all of the message of Torah, one would have to remove the plaster. According to Rabbi Shimon, that which was the writing of all of these various languages, the Shivim Lashonos, all of them represented on this tablet of stone, that was after the plaster. So the stones were plastered, and upon the plaster, all of the Torah was then inscribed in 70 Lashonos. Let's see the Gemara first, briefly. So the Gemara here, it's closer to the inner margin there, in smaller print. Tanur Rabbanu Ketzad Kasvu Yisrael Asatora. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer Al Gabe Avonim Kasvua Shenemar V'Chasafta Al HaAvonim Eskol Divrei HaTorah HaZois. The Achakach, after that, Seduhu Oisoi Besid. Then they plastered it over. Amalei Rabbi Shimon L'Dvarecha, but according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, Heich Lamdu Avdei Kachav Mes HaTorah. How could they have studied the Torah? How could they have learned it? How could they have read it? It's covered over with plaster. Omar Lay, so Rabbi Yehuda says a fascinating thing. He says, Bina Yisera Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'ovdei Kechavim, a particularly deep or profound understanding of what to do was imparted to the nations of the world. V'shogru Neitirin Shalahem, their scribes, professionals, were sent, v'kilfu as hasid, they peeled off, right, they chipped or peeled off the plaster of hisyu, and then copied the Torah that was found underneath that plaster. Ba'is Hashah, Nischasim Gzardin Aloiv de Kechavim, Lebe'er Shachas, they were condemned in that moment. They're condemned Lebe'er Shachas. They're condemned to utter destruction, Sha'ayalim Lulmay Torah V'Lelamdu, because they should have learned Torah, where they could now access it in their language, in their mother tongues, and they didn't. Rabbi Shimon Aimer, more simply, Agabe Sidkosvua, the Torah was written in those various languages on the plaster, the Kosvu Lahem Lemata, and then below, so to speak, as a final message to the Umos HaOlam, the Pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Chaf, Pasuk Yud Ches, where the Torah tells us all the nations that you find in Canaan that are endemic to the land are to be utterly destroyed. Hachareim, Tachareim, the Torah says. Let's look at the Pasuk inside. None of them were allowed to remain alive. They were all condemned to die. And then they wrote, this was in the message to the Umos, so that you, the Jewish people, shouldn't follow, shouldn't learn, meaning so they shouldn't teach you to serve idolatrous ways of pagan worship. That's why they are utterly destroyed. Now, what's the message? The point to these Umos HaOlam is as follows. Your ways are abominable, and we have to destroy all of you who live in this land, because you might, God forbid, not only continue to practice your idolatry, but you might proffer it and teach it to us. But Rabbi Shimon says the reason that they put this message up was so that those of these nations who were not living in Canaan, who lived elsewhere, when they would come and read this, they would have the option of doing tshuva, of abandoning Avodah Zarah and accepting upon themselves the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Halamadato she'im chozvin b'tshuva mekablu ma'isam. They would be accepted in tshuva, which Rabbi Yehuda denies. Rabbi Yehuda says that's not the case. Those from these seven nations can never be accepted amongst us. They can never be accepted amongst us. If they're in Eretz Yisrael, we have to destroy them. We have to wipe them out. According to Rabbi Shimon, if they come from outside of Israel, we can accept them in tshuva if they take upon themselves the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. Okay. My time with Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon is based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Dechsiv, Vahoyu, Amim, Misrafo, Sid. So it's describing how Sancheriv's army will be completely destroyed, as it was. Asher will be defeated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, literally overnight, as if they have been, you know, consumed, burnt in a great kiln that makes plaster, where you take lime and heat it to the point where it changes and you can, I guess, pulverize it and it's turned into plaster when later mixed with water. So this pasuk is all about the drasha, at least, is all about how the guilt of the nations arises from al iske sid, because of that plaster. They should have read the Torah on that plaster and accepted it. That's why they're condemned for not embracing Torah once they had the opportunity to see it, learn it, and then embrace it. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha, Yehuda says, no, they never could have been accepted. Kisid, Ma'asid ein lo takane el sreifa. That's the only way to make it. That's how you do it. You burn it. You take these limestones and you bring them to tremendous heat and you destroy them in heat. Af oisam shiva amim ein lo takane el sreifa. So that's the machlokes of Rebbe Shimon concerning whether we do or do not accept the tshuva of the seven nations, members of those seven nations, if they come from without of Eretz Yisrael, do we or do we not accept the tshuva? But before that, the major machlokas that we're focusing in on is the writing of Torah for Gentiles. Rebbe Shimon and Rebbe Yehuda both understand, yes, the Torah said, Ba'er Heitev. Ba'er Heitev means explain the Torah in 70 languages for all of the world to know and understand. And that we should do so and put this monument up particularly at Gilgal, which is, so to speak, at the gateway to Eretz Yisrael, like right at our door, like a sign on the door, posted. Not no trespassing, but this is who we are. This is what we are all about. And in your language, here it is for you to understand it. Not only should you understand it, so that you should understand us, but you should understand the will of God. You should understand the will of the Rabbeinu Shalayla. And now that you've read and understand the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should follow the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But they didn't. But you see, it's much more than a mezuzah. It's a signpost to the nations of the world with the full Torah to give them guidance if they will just willfully accept that guidance. No, batel ritzonchem kdei lasos ritzono. This is what the will of God is. Now that we are in our land, we are established as the nation of Israel, and we are a light unto the nations. And, well, how does that work? Well, we are going to be exemplars of the following, which is the Torah. Now, you can and should follow it too. And they didn't accept it. Just as they didn't accept it at Sinai, they don't accept this either. But Tosfos there, by the way, excuse me, Tosfos and Sota says, this is worse than what happened at Sinai, because here it was explained in their own tongue. This is where their real guilt has accrued, because the nations of the world, you know, could see and should see the Torah. That's what's so interesting. Historically, when there were those who would embrace the Old Testament, they did so on condition that it's no longer applicable. Think about what happened 2,000 some odd years ago, when so many of those, what we call the Minim, took on themselves the monotheism, but not as we understand it. They didn't say we reject the authenticity of the five books of Moses. We accept them, but they were for the past. They were for the old Israelites. We're the new Israelites, and those five books no longer apply, and the mitzvos are no longer obligatory. Of course, we know why they did that, because Shabbos was a bit too much, and Mila was a bit too much. And they therefore said, well, no, that's not necessary anymore. It's a new era. Yeah? But it's fascinating that they don't reject the five books of Moshe. They don't reject the Chumash, not at all. They understand it, however, and believe it was for the old Israelites, that's us, not for them. So the idea of the nations of the world accepting the veracity of Torah and indeed adapting their lives to the call of Torah is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really would have liked. Now, did HaKadosh Baruch Hu understand from the get-go that it's not going to happen? Of course. But the descriptions here is that in an ultimately perfect world, after we arrive in Eretz Yisrael, the nations of the world would see the Torah written on these stones and read it in their language and begin to follow Torah the way we follow the Torah. So now let's... Yes?
So the Machlokas, or Rabbi Shimon's Rav Yehuda saying it was covered, but they should have opened it up to
They did open it up. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't say they didn't open it up. They knew enough to find out what is this secret, what is this mysterious Torah all about, and when they read it, they did not accept it.
Rabbi
Shimon saying it wasn't so secretive. And that's the difference between them. Let's see the Maharal inside. Al Gabe Avonim, on the right side of the page, the second paragraph, the beginning of the paragraph. So, Al Gabe Avonim, the Torah was written in 70 languages on these stones, as we read in this week's parsha. Dvarim Elohim, Dvarim Gedolim Oid, Lichtav Satera Al Avonim Elo. This is a great matter, an important matter, that the Torah was written for the sake of all the nations of the world to be able to read and see and understand Torah in their language. They were installed at the border at Gilgal, at the border of the land. It's proper for it to be there at the border. Everything about this world is included in Torah. Torah is the guide for mankind, for the universe. Everything it relates to Torah, afomos, including the nations of the world. That's why it's there at the border, facing the world, so to speak, calling out from the land of Israel to the nations of the world, sending out the message of Hashem's wishes from Israel to the universe, to the rest of the world. Lichta v'tera halagvul kashe yavru hayardein sheyikru oisam gam humos, for all of the world to read. Amna matari hi begvul haaretz. True, it's at the gvul. Avagav shu karav elu umos, and that way it's close to and accessible to the umos who are not in Eretz Yisrael but outside of Eretz Yisrael, mikol makom hutaych haaretz, but it's right at the border within Eretz Yisrael. Ki atayri hitaych Yisrael bifrat. After all, Torah was given to us to be pronounced through the way we live and shared this way in writing in their language for them to read. But it begins with us, so it's put in its place. It's emplaced right within Eretz Yisrael at the border, facing out to the world for them to read and to adopt. And because they did not, they are condemned, in the words of the Gemara, Lebe'er Shachas. It's interesting, when we finish a Masechta and in the Siyum read the words of the Pasuk, we read, right? Torideim Be'er Shachas, that because we follow Torah and they don't, ultimately we are given everlasting life and they will not be given that life. The Sofer Rabbi Yehuda, Shekasva Torah al ha'avonim va'al ha'avonim nosnu hasid. The Torah was written on the stones and then on top of that it was layered with plaster. Ki ro'i sheyeh kach l'fi inyan ha'umos el ha'Torah. That's the relationship they have to Torah. It is not one open and clear and revealed as it is in our case. Ki ein ha'Torah kol kach benigla lahem. The Torah was not intended to be openly revealed to them in the way that it is revealed to us. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it would require a certain amount of effort on their part that is not the case for us. Apparently, Kabbalah Satorah at Sinai was the fulfillment of a certain destined role for Am Yisrael, and that which the Umos would have access to Torah is not on par with the manner in which the Torah is ours. It's not kol kach benigla lahem, not as clearly to be theirs. It's not so clearly revealed to them. Rak ki'ilu haya hadavar hazeh b'koyach v'lo b'poyel. It's something that's their potential. They can access Torah. They can adopt Torah values and live in accordance with those values. But they have to come to that with greater effort and with finding the truths of Torah that will not be as openly revealed to them as they are to us. So it's potentia, it's in potentia v'loy b'poel, but not active unless they cause it to be. L'kach ha-Torah al avonim v'hasid hu ha-klipa hu al ha-Torah, on top of and sequestering the Torah, so to speak, ad shelo haya rak b'koach v'loy b'poel ha-nigla. It's a very profound idea. That means that there's something about Torah that's so exclusively Yisrael's that it would not be possible to reveal Torah the same way and with as great an ease with which it was revealed and taught to Am Yisrael. There is a certain, I don't want to call it obfuscation, it's not obfuscation, but it's a certain layer of, let us call it, a veil that has to be drawn back. There's a certain murkiness, or there's a certain amount of doubt that has to be overcome by the nations of the world. And that might be because they were not at Ma'amad Har Sinai. That Ma'amad Har Sinai was something that, you know, caused us, those neshamas that are part of Am Yisrael who are at Har Sinai, have a relationship to Torah that was created by the Ma'amad Har Sinai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu imparted a particular relationship of Am Yisrael to Torah at that moment, which the nations of the world, of course, were not privileged to receive. As such, their connection to Torah is a potential connection. Their ability to read and adopt the Torah is something they have the potential to do. But it's not in the same way as it would be revealed and as it was revealed to us at Har Sinai. Ulekach, Maksha, that's why Rabbi Shimon asks, Heich lamdu es ha-Torah, umetaretz. Bina yaseira nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'umos. They were given the ability to understand. They were given not just Bina yaseira, to understand Torah and to discover it and even therefore to embrace it if they would have wished to. They were given the ability to peel back all of that which covered, all of that which hid the Torah away from them. If they would want it, and if they would seek it out, they would be able to obtain it, and they would be able to embrace it if they wished to. Notice that it says Bina. Chachma is knowledge, just factual knowledge. It doesn't say that they were given Chachma Yaseira, Nasan Hashem Yisbarach Lehem. Loimar, it said rather that it is Lahavin. Himadregais Ha'umais Lahavin Dover Mitoich Dover. They were given the ability to understand, to logically evaluate the material that is Torah, and then to come to the conclusion, which they should have, that it is of the utmost and of the ultimate value and truth to be taken on, embraced, and lived by. So even though it's covered over, and so to speak, hidden, and not in the state of nigla that it was to Am Yisrael when it was given to us, nevertheless, they were given the ability to use their good minds and to discover Torah, study it, and then embrace it. But they did not. That's the meaning of the Gemara. When the Gemara says, Heim yecholim lekapel hasid, they were given the ability to understand it, they were given the ability to evaluate it, to understand it. And that's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, it's for mankind. And even though I have at one point offered it to them before Matan Torah, I still want the nations of the world to see it, to read it, and to live by it. Of course, the nations of the world, even the nations of the world that embrace the idea of a one God. They can't bring themselves to embrace the Torah. But here you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really intends for all of mankind to know the Torah and to study the Torah and to build a better world in accordance with the guidance of Torah.
So then how does the Gemara then discuss that? That Gemara then discusses when, you know, it says that they took the Torah to this one and then they said, no, this one, they said, no, this one says no. That seems to be...
Right, that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Torah to be available to them. And when each nation became aware of what the values of the Torah are about, each one of the nations had a particular reason. This one said, "No, I live by the sword. I can't abide Leisirtzach." And another nation says, "But you know, being deceitful and theft is something that we just do all on a regular basis." And the concept of this great, you know, value of honesty, we can't abide it, and so on and so forth. So each nation has its own reason for rejecting Torah on that level. But here, we're talking about the entire Torah presented in the language of the nation for them to access. And now let us understand. Do you know what the most printed book in history is? The Bible is the most printed book. There is no book that has been printed with as many editions in as many languages as the Bible. And yet, it's only Am Yisrael, and tragically only part of Am Yisrael, that embraces it fully and endeavors to live by the Torah. So here the Maral is saying this was a opening message of the nation as we arrive at our home, a national home. We come to Eretz Yisrael, and it's not just arrival at a national home, it's coming unto our fullness of destiny. National home sounds a little bit too much the way you might describe it for some other nation. This is not about a national home so much as this is about Am Yisrael becoming fully engaged in its relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we do that, and at that moment, we also speak to the nations of the world. We are the peh, the mouthpiece for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the balance of mankind. And if you think about it, it's a very great message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. The arrival of my people to their land is only part of what I would like to see. I would like to see the nations of the world embrace my Torah. What the Jewish people are doing is what is correct. And ultimately, it's something that it should be this way for all of you mankind. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says so on that day, the day of our arrival to Eretz Yisrael. Let's continue. Uladas Reb Yehuda, Yesh Le'umais Tzirif El HaTorah Mikoach Bina Yisera. According to Reb Yehuda, only through Bina Yisera do the nations of the world have a relationship, and only that way are they included in the world of Torah. Ve'ein zeh davar begolui, it's not something open, it's not something that's so transparent and clear. Rak tachas hasid, rather it's beneath the plaster. Ve'himachusa tachas haklipa, there's something that's holding them back, and yes, it's something that challenges them, that because of Har Sinai and Mammoth, Har Sinai and the chosenness of Am Yisrael is not a challenge for us. The Torah was revealed to us in a way that was not a revelation to them. But because they don't learn the Torah and they don't use Vayeshlem Bini Yaseira, they have the Bini Yaseira, but they don't use it to discover all the truths of Torah and then to embrace them. Hem yardim liver shachas. They're condemned. Shaharei hem misnagdim el Torah kasher ein reitzim b'Torah. They are rejecting the Torah, and therefore they are going to ultimately not be there in the very special place that is reserved for the Jewish people in the world to come. Uladas Rabbi Shimon ain't a davar kach, but according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not so. Aval yesh leumais kirev el haTorah benigla. It's a fundamentally different approach. Rabbi Shimon says no, it's not so difficult for them to understand, and their relationship to Torah is intended to be much more direct. The Torah is intended for them to be accepted easily, handily, benigla, umitzad atzmam, by their very nature, v'lo mitzad habina, not because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them a particular understanding or the ability to reach a particular understanding, specific, you know, intellectual capacity relating them to Torah if they choose to use it. Rav Shimon says, no, it's not so complicated. It's just their nature. They could and should have read the Torah and embraced it. Which is why the Torah was not under the plaster, but rather, first they plastered the stones, and then the writing was on the plaster for all to see and read. That's why they also included that extra pasuk, repeated that pasuk from Dvarim Chaf Yud Ches, L'man Asher Lo Yilamdu Eschem La'asos Chol HaToyavos Asher Asu Le'Eloi Heihem. The reason that's there is to tell them, you are able to understand what's wrong with your idolatrous ways. You're able to understand what the real will of the real God is, and you should follow it. And if you do, you will be accepted in tshuva, and you can live here amongst us in this land, as long as you don't originate in the land, if you're of those nations, but came from without of Eretz Yisrael. If you're a Canaanite or a Jebusite from outside of Eretz Yisrael, if you're from the Chitim, Chivi, who were from the, I believe, from the north of Eretz Yisrael, so then you would be allowed, according to Rishimin, if you do tshuva, to live amongst us in the land. Well, if Yichach Dorash, and that's why Rishimin is Derish, in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, v'hayu amim misrafay sid al iskei sid, meaning that they had an opportunity to come to Eretz Yisrael and live as Bali Tshuva, at least with Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, but they didn't. Perish ki asid shehu ala evin mibuchutz, hu sreifas ha'umais. That's what will happen to them as their punishment. Ki b'madrega zais nirshemes v'nichteves madregas Yisrael hi ha'tayra. Shemimeno mischayiv sreifas ha'umais asher loy kiblu ha'tayra. So the Torah is written on Sid. Those who embrace it have life, and those who do not end up like Sid, which is produced through this terrible hot fire. According to Yehuda, Bahayu Amin Misterface means that they are condemned because they are from their very get-go condemned. Sha'umais Hem Kimai Sid, condemned ultimately to destruction. This is all very profound and very deep. What we come away from here is that Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda have a huge machlekes about not just, you know, was it covered? Was the Torah in the 70 languages covered with plaster and then to be uncovered, or was it written on top of the plaster? The Maharal is telling us that the entire relationship that nations of the world could have had with Torah is, according to Yehuda, one that they would have had to, you know, reveal the Torah, and they would have had to, so to speak, uncover the Torah and reach into it with their own efforts, more so than according to Rabbi Shimon. Where according to Rabbi Shimon, the Torah was there for them to read and adopt as clearly as any human being could read and come to understand what Torah is all about. Which means that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a certain essence of Torah that's somehow far more difficult for a Gentile to associate with, to internalize. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, that is not the case. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, it is something that the nations of the world, in their very essence, could have been able to do. And maybe we could even add, still would be able to do. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not in their nature to be able to understand and internalize Torah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them at that time that ability, but they rejected it. They didn't make use of it. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, there's a particular relationship that Am Yisrael has to Torah, and to be able to learn Torah, that in order for the Gentile nations to do, they had to be given a particularly unique set of skills that they otherwise wouldn't have. Whereas in our case, there's a relationship that we have to Torah and an ability to read it and understand it that's naturally ours. Rabbi Shimon, as we said, says that they too had that ability naturally, but again, rejected the Torah and didn't accept it. So this idea of a unique relationship that the nations could have had to the Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, reminds us of the privilege that we have, that there's something about the innate neshama of Am Yisrael that innately has its relationship, each of us and the nation as a whole, having its unique relationship to Torah. And nevertheless, even though we have that relationship, and uniquely it's ours, when we came to Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we are to turn the Torah outward, if you will, to the nations of the world, for all of the people of the world, to read it, to know it, and to embrace it. And obviously that's for us to understand. It's for us to realize that while we are the particular people of Torah, but Torah is for mankind. So that we as human beings have a relationship to Torah, and would have a relationship to Torah as human beings, even if we were not blessed to be able to say each morning, Baruch Atah Hashem Shalei Asani Goy. Just as a human being, we could, should have a relationship to Torah. Because Torah is for mankind. Torah is for the world. Torah is for all of creation.